workshop.
Man, this is singing country.
How do you mean, feller?
Well, just listen.
The 48 states come singing out the wilderness, singing out the wilderness, singing out the wilderness. The 48 states come singing out the wilderness, many long years ago, many long years ago, many long years ago.
The Columbia Workshop, radio's foremost laboratory of new writing and production technique, presents This is Singing Country, written by Alan Lomax and directed by Howard G. Barnes for the workshop.
America has always been singing country. Cowboys, lumberjacks, railroaders, lonesome ladies, kids, the American people in every region and on every job all had their own songs and ballads. These songs of the people are part of our history. They tell the American story the way the people saw it.
Oh, the biscuits that they give us, they say are mighty fine. One rolled off a table and it killed a pal of mine.
I don't want no more of our little life.
The coffee that they give you, they say, is mighty fine. Good for cuts and bruises and tastes like iodine.
Americans have been singing soldiers from the days of Yankee Doodle to Mademoiselle from Armentier. We're the boys who sing all the patriotic songs and pretend we don't know what we're fighting for. We've always been civilian soldiers. Our chief motive was to get the whole thing over and get back home. Soldiers with a sense of humor, who can laugh in the midst of the grim business of war, especially at ourselves. As, for instance, in...
Yankee Doodle came to town riding on his pony. Stuck a feather in his cap and called it macaroni.
Yankee Doodle, the first song popular with American soldiers. The G.I. song of the American Revolution. Yankee Doodle was a satire on the countrified American militiamen. A satire written by a British doctor, one Richard Schuckberg.
That's quite right. I wrote some words for Yankee Doodle in upstate New York in 1758. The idea came to me one afternoon as I watched a company of American farmers drilling. They looked like cow horses on parade.
Attention, gentlemen! Attention! Now I'm going to carry you through the revolution to the manual at arms. You must pay particular attention to the word of command and do as it says do.
Where'd you learn this here revolution at arms business, Bill?
I've been studying up on it, Ab.
Just shows you what a little book learning will do for a man. Make him a captain.
All right now, gentlemen. All right now. Let's get to work. First command, look to the right and dress.
Hey, stop.
Why don't you dress, Ab?
Ain't it dress, Bill? I was when you left home.
Ab. Dress means to line up straight with the others.
Why don't you just come right out and speak it plain so the body can understand?
Silence! Silence! All right now. Shoulder. Hoop! Your right shoulder, Ab. Your right shoulder.
Well, let's carry old Betsy on the left.
All right now. Boys. Hoop! Cock! Hoop! Aim! Fire!
Sure gonna help the engines. By the time we get our shots off, they'll have us as full of arrows as my old turkey hen is full of feathers.
That's the way they were, as contrary as mules and as awkward as cow horses. You just couldn't help laughing at them. And that night I wrote Yankee Doodle. Very trifling bit of verse.
A trifling bit of verse, perhaps, but it caught on with Americans. It tickled their risibilities. And in the years of the Revolution, you could hear it wherever Washington's men marched.
Father and I went down to camp along with Captain Gooden, and there we see the men and boys as quick as they be put in.
Yankee Doodle, keep it up. Yankee Doodle, dandy. Yankee Doodle, keep it up and with a girl be handy.
And there was Captain Washington upon a slapping galleon, a giving orders to his men. I guess it was a million.
Yankee Doodle, keep it up. Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle, keep it up. And here's a guilty handy.
The troopers, they would gallop up and fire right in their faces. It scares me almost half to death to see them run to traces.
Yankee Doodle, keep it up. Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle, keep it up. And here's a guilty handy.
It scared me so I hooked it off. Nurse stopped as I remember. Nurse turned it out till I got home locked up in Mother's chamber.
Yankee Doodle, keep it up. Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle, keep it up. And with the gun behind
me. Yankee Doodle marched with the American Army through all the bloody years of the Revolution. It was in the air at the Battle of Lexington when a captured Scottish officer said,
"In the morning, the Americans fought like boys, at noon like men, and in the afternoon, they fought like devils, sir." At Bunker Hill, we had a jail cup of powder, 15 rifle balls, and one flint. But we held them regulars for two charges.
It stuck with Washington's ragged troops on their bitter retreat from New York City in the winter of 76.
There was a sight of us didn't have no shoes, so we marched barefooted or laced cowhide on our feet. The ground was close too hard for us to drive in 10 sticks, and we was obliged to lay down on the frozen ground.
Yankee Doodle that year was ragged and naked and lousy. A scarecrow soldier who was beaten and retreated and beaten again. But Yankee Doodle, without uniform or much discipline, was hard to whip. He was fighting for liberty, and freedom-loving people everywhere, in England as well as other lands, were pulling for him. In the fall of 1777, he trapped and defeated Burgoyne at Saratoga, and he made a ballad to celebrate that victory.
Come unto me, ye heroes, whose hearts are true and bold, who value more your honor than others do their gold. Give ear unto my story, and the truth to you I'll tell, concerning many a soldier who for his country fell. Concerning many a soldier who for his country fell.
The song was like a news story. It gave the facts to an army of men who had no camp newspapers or radio. The veterans listened hard and commented as the singer went on.
6 hours the battle lasted, each heart was true as gold. The redcoats fought like lions, and we like Yankees bold.
Hearts like a catamount.
The leaves with blood were crimson, and in brave gates did cry, 'Tis diamond now cut to diamond, we who beaten them boys or die. 'Tis diamond now
I didn't
cut
just hear
diamond,
that myself, but they say that Duke cut the general dead, and we held them.
We held them all right.
The seventh day of October, Burgoyne he tried again. The shell from his big canyon fell on us like the rain.
It were a pure thunderstorm.
When an hour we fought to them, and they began to yield. A shout ran down our ragged line, the next blow in the field.
But I said, "Was now's the time, boys! Count 'em!"
The next you, the great God who guides our battles, whose cause is just and true, inspire our bold commander the course he should pursue. He ordered Arnold forward and Brooks to follow on. The enemy are routed. Our liberty is won.
That's what it was like. That's just how it happened.
Now that is a song, my boys. It's just as true. Just as true as steel.
Right,
I'm going to get me a copy of it and sing it off to my old woman when I get back home, so she'll know what I've been through.
But Yankee Doodle had a long war ahead of him before he got back home to his wife and family.
to buy my love a sword of steel. Johnny has one for a soldier.
A long time of waiting for folks at home. And bitter defeat for Johnny at Germantown and Brandywine at Charlestown and Savannah. A hard winter in Valley Forge when the men froze and starved. Yes, and they griped, as soldiers always do.
What did you have for your supper, boys?
Fire cake and water!
Gentlemen, your supper is ready.
More fire cake and water!
And what will you eat for breakfast, lads?
Fire cake and water!
The Lord send that our commissary may live on fire cake and water till their glutted guts are turned to pasteboard.
As for me, boys, you may stay here and starve if you like, but I'm going home.
You don't mean that, do you, Dave?
Just as sure as I'm alive.
But looky here, Dave. It's a waste leaving now.
It's a waste staying.
No, sir, it ain't. I've put in 2 years of marching up and down, fighting them tax buzzards and hikings. All that time, grass has been taking my land, and I missed out on 2 seasons worth cleaning up the back pasture. It don't seem sensible to holler quits and go home now and not get nothing for all that trouble and time gone. I tell you, Dave, I feel like the fella says in the song, that lift up your hand song. How does it go there, Joe?
Here's where it goes. Lift up your hand, ye heroes, and swear with proud disdain that he who would ensnare you shall lay his snares in vain. The world shall own with master gift and his own of it. Hurrah, 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 for free America.
Ab and Dave and the rest of Washington's army needed all their fortitude and all their songs. There were 3 more hard years ahead of them before the end of the war came at Yorktown in 1782. Before the men of the 13 independent states sang their final stanza of their victory ballad. America was free and young her freedom. We were proud of our victory and cocky, the way a young fellow is after he's won his first fight. And so, when the British Navy, in the course of a blockade against Napoleon, interfered with some of our shipping, we declared war. The War of 1812, a war that most American historians have felt was unnecessary. And the young American eagles dreamed.
Ye gentlemen of England, ye lords and commons too, consider well what you're about and what you mean to do. If you go to war with the Yankees, you'll surely rule the day. You rouse the sons of liberty in North America. Now remember all your Britons, far distant is the day that ere you'll gain by British force your lost America. Go tell your king in Parliament, by all the world it's known, that British force by sea and land, by Yankees are overthrown.
Them Yankees ain't all they've riled up. They riled up old Kentucky. Ain't that right, boys? And when they roused up old Kentucky, they got me started. Now I'm a poor man, and I smell like a wet dog, but I can't be run over. Am I correct? And boy, I'm feeling all wolfish about the shoulder, cause I ain't had a fight in 2 days.
Oh, Dave! Them aristocrats don't know me!
I'm a land screamer. I'm a water dog. I'm a snapping turtle. I can lick 5 times my weight in wildcat. I can hit a lick like foolproof light. I can out, run out, jump out, drink out, lick anything east of the Mississippi. I can dive deeper and come up dry than any man in all creation. Power out! jump down your throat faster than green light.
Old Kentuck and the boys meant business. They stuck their hunting knives in their belts, hoisted up their long rifles, and joined Andrew Jackson's army by the thousands. They swore by Old Hickory, swore they'd follow him to Hades on one drink of water. They marched to New Orleans and freed the city with such dispatch, they set all America singing a new song.
You heard, I suppose, how New Orleans is famed for wealth and beauty. There's girls of every hue, it seems, from snowy vibe to city. So Pakenham, he made his brags. If he in fight was lucky, he'd have their girls in cotton bags in spite of old Kentucky. Oh, Kentucky, you hunter of Kentucky. Oh, Kentucky, you hunter of Kentucky. But Jackson, he was wide awake and was not scared a trifle, for well he knew what aim we'd take with our Kentucky rifle. He only had a little force, none wished it should be greater, for every man was half a horse and half an alligator.
Oh, Kentucky, you hunter of Kentucky. Oh, Kentucky, you hunter of Kentucky.
They found at last was vain to fight, well, led with all the booty. And so they wisely took their flight and left with all our beauty. And now if danger e'er annoys, remember what our trade is. Just send for us, Kentucky boys, we'll protect you, ladies.
Oh, Kentucky, you hunters of Kentucky. Oh, Kentucky, you hunters of Kentucky.
The next two generations of Americans were busy with the job of opening up the continent for settlement. A little war in Texas, a couple of expeditions south of the Rio Grande, skirmishes with the Indians. The songs of these little wars were soon forgotten. But in 1861, a new tune was heard. A tune that rolled through the nation with the thunder of heaven's own drum. The union of the young states split was torn apart. Johnny Reb in the South sang,
"We'll hang Abe Lincoln on the sour apple tree."
And the Yankee Johnny replied,
"We'll hang Jeff Davis to a sour apple tree."
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
A war between brothers. Brothers so near in spirit that they marched to battle singing the same tune. A war of such ferocity and such practical brilliance that ever since its campaigns have served as models of military strategy. A war into which the South marched singing Bonnie Blue Flag and Dixie, while the Northern soldiers clung along to the battle hymn of the Republic and songs like,
"We are marching to the field, boys, we're going to the fight. Shouting the battle cry of freedom, and we bear the glorious stars for the Union and the right. Shouting the battle cry of freedom, the Union forever."
These are the songs of Brooklyn, battle green soldiers. As the men settled down to the grim business of survival in the field, the old soldiers' cynicism appeared, and the patriotic sentiments were colored the salt of mutton stew.
Mary had a little lamb, 'twas always on the go, shouting the battle cry of freedom. So she staked it on the grassy slope along the Shenandoah, shouting the battle cry of freedom. Hurrah for Mary, hooray for the lamb, hooray for the soldiers who do not give a hang. For we'll rally round the flag, boys, we'll rally once again, shouting the battle cry of freedom.
Then it swam across the Shenandoah, our bigots saw it too,
shouting the battle cry of freedom.
And speedily it shivered down into a mutton stew,
shouting the battle cry of freedom. Hooray for Mary, hooray for the land, hooray for the soldiers who do not give a hang. For we'll rally round the flag, boys, we'll rally once again, shouting the battle cry of freedom.
Soldiers north and south, men in blue and in gray, they cracked jokes and hunted for life and dreamed of home and cursed the mud and the weather and the war and lived from meal to meal. So in the gray lines, where men learned to exist on jerked beef and canned gravy, the lanky drawing boys from the Carolinas and Tennessee
dedicated their favorite song to the cave rations of their time, Goober Peas.
Sitting by the roadside on the summer day, chatting with my messmates, passing time away, lying in the shadow underneath the tree, getting a cart of liquor, eating goober peas. Just before the battle, the general hears a row. He says the Yanks is coming, I hear their rifles now. He turns around in wonder, and what do you think he sees? The Georgia militia eating goober peas. I think my song has lasted almost long enough. The subject's interesting, but the rhymes are rather rough. I wish this war was over when free from rags and fleas. We'd kiss our wives and sweethearts, stop gobbling goober peas.
Peas, 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 eating goober peas.
Johnny Rev and Yankee John, for 4 years, they suffered the same hunger and endured the same cold. They were Americans first and foremost, and they shared a common language and common traditions from which nobody could secede. And so, in the long night watches, when the battle lines were only a few rods apart, strange things sometimes happened.
The Yankee Doodle had the mind to whip the seven traitors. Just because they did not live on codfish and potatoes. Yankee Doodle fought so loud, Yankee Doodle.
Don't like that one?
Well, now, what would you like?
How about giving us a love song?
Why, sure, I'd be glad to. As I was out walking one morning in May, I met a fair couple making their way. And one was the lady, and the fair one was she, and the other was a soldier, and the brave one was he. And the other was a soldier, and the brave one was he. Where'er you were going, my pretty fair maid, just down by the river, just down by the shade, just down by the river, just down by the spring, see the wild rippling waters, hear the nightingale sing, see the wild rippling waters, hear the nightingale sing. They hadn't been there but an hour or so, till out his set sail, through fiddle and bow, he played up a tune that made the wood ring. She said, hark, hark, hear the nightingale sing. She said, hark, hark, hear the nightingale sing. Come, all you young ladies, take a warning by me. Don't place your affection in a soldier so free. For they'll go away and leave you like mine did me. Leave you to rock the cradle, sing by your baby. Leave you to rock the cradle, sing by your baby.
Is that all true, Rip?
Well, won't say it ain't, Yankee.
Well, we sure got it. Thanks.
Don't mention it.
Get your head down now. We're going to start shooting.
Far away, Yank.
Seems like right nice fellers.
Yep, but if they shoot us, reckon all the polite thing we can do.
Things like this really happen. And yet these same men fought each other to a standstill in the bloodiest battles Americans had ever known. Neither side would run as they ought when beaten. One side sang of Southern rights. The other sang of another kind of freedom.
Oh, freedom, freedom. Oh, freedom.
Oh, freedom, that's the one.
bloody Chancellorsville, at Malvern Hill, on Lookout Mountain, and over the melancholy plain at Gettysburg, this song was in the air, rolling over the last battlefield stronger than the cannon, like a great wind of spring.
Oh, freedom, freedom, oh.
Negro regiments marched to this song, and they also sang another, a song that will live long after the battles are forgotten.
When Israel was in Egypt land, let my people go. A dreadful heart they could not stand. Let my people go.
Been slaves were freed. The Union was preserved. In 1865, the war was over. Lee, the gallant leader of the South, even more gallant in defeat, said, "The Southern states having laid down their arms and the questions at issue having been decided, I believe it to be the duty of everyone to unite in the restoration of the country and the reestablishment of peace and harmony." And then, everywhere across America, the people sang one old song, which is stanza and chorus repeated again and again. The good line. When Johnny comes marching home again,
hooray, hooray.
When Johnny comes marching home again,
hooray, hooray. The men will cheer and the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all turn out, and they'll all feel gay when Johnny comes marching home.
So the civilian soldiers, Johnny Reb and Yankee John, shook hands with their friends and marched off down the dusty road. They were tired, and their feet probably hurt, but they were glad it was done, glad they were headed home at last
when Johnny comes marching home.
And this is singing country.
How do you mean, feller?
Why, just listen.
The 48 states come singing out the wilderness.
Singing out the wilderness. Singing out the wilderness. The 48 states come singing out the wilderness. Many long years ago.
The Columbia Workshop has just presented This is Singing Country, a radio strip based upon American folkways and incorporating old folk songs between the period 1776 and 1864, as written and arranged by Alan Lomax. The production was directed by Howard G. Barnes, and the narrator was Barry Kroger. Next week, the Columbia Workshop will present The Day That Baseball Died by Irvin Keitel. Howard G. Barnes will again direct.